Preaching of God's Word has been a blessing. Go ahead and find your places in Joshua chapter 2. I encourage people to turn there so that we're ready when the preaching gets started. So Joshua chapter 2, we're going to be dealing with the chapter tonight and just going through that and just a message that the Lord has used to encourage me and to challenge me just to keep doing what the Lord has called us to do. And I just thank Berean Baptist Church for the support for our family, the love that you have shown for us. When I first started pastoring, there was 5 church members. I received a unanimous vote to be the pastor of Community Baptist Church. All 5 people voted for me. Well, I think my dad was the interim pastor. I think he voted for me, too. I remember the first Sunday when we had double digits on Sunday morning. I was just ecstatic, praising the Lord for that. And for 18 months, we used piano tracks for all the congregational. There was almost no special music, but then the Lord brought Miss Jessie, and one of the preachers of the conference said, when a piano player comes in, praise the Lord. I was praising the Lord double because she was my wife, too. And so, but it's just a blessing. But we started there in June of 2019 and just got into it, out knocking doors, putting out tracks, trying to see just what the Lord would do. In February of 2020, their Community Baptist, I had the opportunity to begin preaching on the radio every Sunday morning. And so we have 9 o'clock Sunday morning. We have a 15-minute broadcast on the local news station where I just preach the gospel and try to see what the Lord will do. We've had one visitor from that. That's all that we've seen feedback, but we're just praying about if the Lord would have us continue to do that. But we're just started to do that in 2020. And slowly we started to see some of the former members of the church come back. We started to see a little bit of a core form, some new faces start coming. But of the 5 people who were there, they called me the pastor, 4 of them have moved away. December of 2021, the one couple, his wife had a stroke. They had to move to be with family. The other couple retired. They moved away. That was about 40 to 50% of our offerings. But God has met every need. We're still going. We praise the Lord for that. In July of 2020, so right in the middle of COVID, in January of 2020, before at the Home Missions Conference, I believe Berean participated in that as well. We raised almost $50,000, actually $52,000 for the purchase of the building that finally went through in July of 2020. We owned the building, absolutely no debt. When Bayview Baptist closed down, they sold the property, but they gave the money to Community Baptist. And so we had that, and we're able to purchase an old Brother Lee Pallman, if those who would know the name, he pastored a church about 30 to 40 minutes southwest of us, but that church has since closed down. But the property and all of that, it's going into Community Baptist Church. We own the property there. It's a old congregational church building, an old building. But I get to ring the bell every Sunday, and everybody in town knows where that building is. And so that's a blessing. It's also somewhat of a challenge because it used to be a community center. It used to be, oh, I did recitals there. Oh, I've done. Well, how about you come and hear the gospel? I've been there before. You haven't been to Community Baptist before. And so we're praying that the Lord would use that for the dedication service. We put out almost 2,000 door hangers in the middle of COVID. We had one group of preachers come in and help us, but the rest of it was just myself and one other member of the church. We got almost 2,000 door hangers out with invitations for the building dedication. We did not have one visitor come from that. Not one visitor come from that. But November, I got a phone call on the church line. A little lady said, "Is this Pastor Andrew? I need a ride to church." Okay, we will try to do, and being single, that was very difficult, but we had some church members begin picking up Miss Verna. And Miss Verna is just a special lady. That's just the dementia is already beginning to set in and some different things. Pray for her if you would. But the whole time we began picking her up every Sunday starting in November of 2020. And then we got married and Miss Jessie began participating and picking her up. And she began saying, "You need to pray for my daughter. Bonnie Sue doesn't love the Lord. Bonnie Sue doesn't." I told her the pastor wanted to visit and she got so angry with me. We were praying. And just in the middle of that, she began telling us how her yard needed work. And when Jessie tried to pick her up on Sunday, the weeds were so high that she couldn't even get into the yard. It was just, if it was raining, Jessie would get soaked on the weeds and said, "Okay, we need to deal with this." She's not even a member of the church, but we went over there twice, pulled up all the weeds. The second time, someone had given us an electric weed whacker. I grew up in the city. I swept concrete. I didn't do yard work. I'm serious. But I learned how to weed whack. And so we went in and we're like, my wife and I literally prayed, "We do not know what's going to come of this. We're just going to be a blessing." And so we went and we did some yard work for her. And it was a couple weeks later, we had the Assurance Trio from Heartland Baptist Bible College out for a Tuesday night concert, we called it. And we picked up Miss Verna for it. And we got back, and guess who was waiting there? It was Bonnie Sue. Without prompting anything, she goes, "I'm off work on two Sundays from now. I'll be there at church." She came to church. Amen. Off and on, she began coming to church. And then in the spring of 2022, her daughter-in-law had COVID very seriously. She was in ICU for weeks with that, just very close touch and go whether or not she would make it. And she, at that point, Bonnie Sue began to get very faithful coming to church. We are praying for it. Praise the Lord. Her daughter-in-law did make it through that. But she began to say, I want to join the church. And we got to sit down and talk with Miss Bonnie Sue. She'd been raised in a Southern Baptist church. And so joining a Baptist church, the first question I asked is, "Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Have you been saved?" And this is what she said. "I went forward when I was a little girl, but I had no idea what was going on." She said, "Since being here under the preaching of God's word, I know I'm not saved. And before the Wednesday night service, I had the privilege of leading Miss Bonnie Sue to the Lord, April 6th of 2022. That was the first soul that we had seen saved. Almost 3 years of laboring there at Community Baptist Church before we saw our first soul get saved. And then just a couple weeks later, we saw another lady get saved. Bonnie Sue's been baptized. She's joined the church. She's getting discipled. She's been faithful. The other lady, Miss Louise, she had some things that needed to get settled in her life before she could join the church. But Lord willing, next Sunday or the next, she's going to be getting baptized and joining the church. We've had more contacts than we've had ever, just reaching out to our neighbors, reaching out to people, just trying to see people come to the Lord. We're trying to see God grow His church. There's a lot of work that needs to be done on the building. It was built in 1904. And there's just, the electric is terrible. Pray for us. The lighting makes it difficult for people to read their Bibles at night. But before we can address that, I've got to get the attic remediated from raccoon leftovers. And so I got to clean that out so we can run the wires, so we can put new lights in, so we can paint the ceiling in the auditorium, so we can put the carpet in that's coming up. And just pray for us with that. And then I mentioned also just praying. We need to see the Lord provide some sort of pastoral housing. If we're ever going to be full-time, permanent, self-supporting church, property is astronomically expensive. We paid $260,000 for our church building. It's about 150-seat auditorium, but there's no classrooms. There's no office space. But to buy 2 acres of commercial land covered in trees, I mean, no electric, nothing to it, would be over $300,000. We have a property. We have the land. It's a church building. And just pray with us. I was telling Pastor over lunch, we had some initial estimate done on what it would be to put an extension on the property and put just an apartment there. The architect's estimate came in at $730,000. And I said, well, we'll see what the Lord will do. And so we're just praying for wisdom, praying what the Lord will do. God has the answers, whether it's somebody who donates a property to the church or whether it's we just continue faithful and in God's time the money will be there. We don't know, but our prayer is that we'll see a self-supporting, self-established church there on Long Island, because there is a tremendous need. Suffolk County has over 1.5 million people. And Bible preaching Baptist churches, I would not fill one hand. There's not five Bible preaching Baptist churches. On the north shore of Long Island, I can drive 80 miles. I get all the way to my dad's church before there's a church that I could send someone to. As far as out where we are, there is thousands and thousands of Guatemalans and Ecuadorians and Spanish-speaking people, and they are very much in their own culture and very much in their own subgroups, don't really intermingle, don't learn English that well. There's not a single Baptist Spanish work on that end of the island that you could send anyone to. And so just pray with us. There is a tremendous need. And my prayer and hope would be that from Community Baptist Church, we could start some other churches or start at least some Bible studies, some preaching stations, something to be able to begin reaching the area. But we need to see Community Baptist Church get established, get settled, begin paying its own bills. Praise the Lord. There was 19 people at Community Baptist this morning. And so we had a Christmas concert. During the Christmas, we had my family come out and do some special music. We had 32 local visitors, most of them unsaved, and they heard the gospel, and we're trying to follow up as much as possible as we can, but it's God that has to do the work. And so as much as we're staying in contact with my dad, he is providing a tremendous amount of help along with the other two churches. And so I've been able to hopefully return some help, and when he needs scaffolding put up and put down, he says, plan a day. And so I drive into the city and help out, obviously, where I can with that. And praying, there's a young man there working with my dad now that they're praying would take the pastorate there at Union Baptist Church, but it's going to be a little while. And so just pray. My dad is 58 years old, and he's still been 30 feet in the air working on running electric and tape. Well, I do the taping and spackling, but just plaster dust in his hair and everything. But he's serving the Lord and staying faithful, and continue to pray for him. And it's a blessing to have that type of example, thankful to be able to serve the Lord. And if you found your place in Joshua chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read through the chapter. Let's let the Bible tell us the story. It can do a lot better job than I can. But let's see what God is saying to us. The Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out a Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. Go quick. There they go.'" That's what she said. "But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of the flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them on their way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thine house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them their way, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the men returned, and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Your Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight, and I thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you for your sovereign hand, for your power and your might. I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight, that you would encourage us to just be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God has chosen to use imperfect people like you and me to do His will so God can receive glory from our lives. God is still a miracle-working God. Just ask Union Baptist Church. Just ask what's going on at Community Baptist Church. If that church is still even alive, is a glory to God. Just ask what's going on every Sunday as the word is going out all over the world. God is still in a miracle working business. And though we are looking at the cultural climate of our country, and we are looking at the winds of it seems that Satan is winning, I want us to understand God will still accomplish His plans. God will still do exactly what He wants to do. But often our attempts to serve God don't turn out the way that we wanted them to turn out. Sometimes they resemble more of a kid's baking class than a masterpiece. How many have ever seen a recipe maybe on the TV or a recipe on YouTube where there's a professional chef? And like, they just know how to slice everything perfectly. And when they do it, it could be with food. That's something I enjoy doing. But whatever it could be, art or whatever you like doing, maybe it's a DIY project. But you see them do it. It looked easy. I mean, it just happened. And then you try to do it yourself. How many been there? And you try it and you try it, and the pot boils over and it doesn't work the same and it doesn't taste the same. And you realize they were using ingredients and thermometers and different things that you didn't have. And you begin to say, I know what the end result should look like, but that's not what I'm holding here. Living for God can seem like that. Okay, we know from the Word of God, we know from the preaching of God's Word, this is how our life should look. This is what God wants to do at Community Baptist Church. This is what God wants to do at a Berean Baptist Church. And we want to accomplish something for God, something that God has said, this is what I want you to do. We want to see God build a church. We want to see a church full. We want to see our lives living for God. We want to see our children grow up and love God and go on to serve God. We want our hearts to be marked by the peace and joy of God. We know what God's Word has said. And if you love the Lord, that's the desire you have. We know the biblical principles. And as we step out to begin to follow God, how many times do we just fall flat on our face? It's not that we don't have a good heart. It's not that we're not trying to do what God's Word says. It just doesn't turn out quite the way we pictured it in our minds. You know, going to Community Baptist Church, I mean, there should have been at least 100 people, but I knew it wasn't going to be that, but I was praying, you know, would it be 3 years before we saw our first soul saved? Is it going to be that long? Well, from the two spies in Rahab, I want to preach this. What God uses to work miracles. What God uses to work miracles. Because God wants to make a masterpiece for His glory. Even when we mess up. Even when our efforts don't work out the way we thought they should. See, Joshua and the nation of Israel, and I don't think I need to belabor this too much. We know most people here would know where Israel is at this point after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, right? Moses has just died. They're under the leadership of Joshua. The previous generation had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they had refused to believe that God could do it. They had the same promises of God. They had the presence of God. They could see the pillar of cloud during the day. They could see the pillar of fire at night. God had promised them, don't fear that. You can move into the land. You can accomplish that. I will be with you. But they doubted God's ability. They treated God like He was less than Almighty God. They did not have the faith that because of their unbelief, the Bible says, they did not enter into that rest. They did not enjoy the promised land. And though God's presence remained with His people, it did. God's promises remained unchanged. That generation didn't get to enjoy God's blessings. Enter Joshua. God's promises. God came to Joshua and He gave him the same promises. There's a land that floweth with milk and honey. There's a land that was prosperous and rich. This is what God wants you to do. This is what I have for God. Excuse me. God's saying, this is what I have for you. This is what I promised to you. My promises are still here. He gave the exact same promises to Joshua that He had given to Moses there in Joshua chapter 1. But it was still a land filled with giants. It was still a land filled with great walled cities. And to enjoy the promises that God had for them, there was going to have to be battles fought. There was going to have to be giants killed. There was going to have to be idols destroyed. But the only reason that Israel could even hope for victory was because God had already promised it. God had already said, this is what's going to happen. And while we're facing battles, I thank God that I'm not facing battles with swords and spears. But we're facing battles just as real as that. I mean, the first obstacle that every one of us face is the image in the mirror. It's, as my dad put it, it's the worse than any horror movie that Hollywood has ever come up with. Because it doesn't matter how many times you kill the monster, it's still there tomorrow morning. Right? The first obstacle that we deal with is ourselves. There's a constant battle with that. And then there is Satan that is fighting against us. And then there's the world pressures that are around us. And Satan wants to move us from that. There is a constant battle, but there is what God has told us to do. We have the Great Commission. We are to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does not mean that everyone's going to believe. But we at least need to give them the message. I don't know how many people on Long Island have never set foot in a Bible preaching, have never even heard the gospel. There's many children growing up on Long Island that have never set foot in any type of church. I've knocked on doors. And I'm sure you run into people like that here as well. But, I mean, there is people who said, I'm atheist, don't talk to us. There's other people who are very religious but have no idea, have never read a verse of Bible scripture themselves in their entire life. Oh, I believe the Bible, but they have never even touched it. It's a battle. Maybe the battle is to step out and witness to that coworker or that neighbor. Maybe it's a battle of just something you're dealing with in your own life, and I want to see the victory. It's to see the church started, to see the church established. Hey, God has promised, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I can hold on to this, that God wants Community Baptist Church to be established far more than I do, and that His plans for that are even greater than I can imagine. But to move forward for that, we got to see God work some miracles. We got to see God accomplish what I can't do. And here in Joshua chapter 2, we find people desperately in need of miracles. Joshua was the new leader of Israel. Think about trying to replace Moses. And the real encouraging thing was the leaders of Israel came to Joshua and said, "As we obeyed Moses, we'll obey you." They were trying to be encouraging, but Joshua, I think in the back of his mind, that wasn't very encouraging. He was like, please, no, I don't. But he was stepping in. First in front of him was the Jordan River, which happened to be in flood stage. Okay? The two spies crossed the Jordan River without much problem. But they've got 2 to 3 million people with cattle, with all of their possessions that they're trying to cross. Not happening. It's impossible. But that was the first miracle that Joshua needed to see. And then once they crossed the Jordan River, they got Jericho, one of the great walled cities. Jericho, by the way, was already in siege mode. The Bible says it was straitly shut up because of them. Their soldiers safe behind their massive walls. And while Joshua had fought some battles, he did not have a trained army. He did not have the siege weapons even of that day. And Israel was already outmatched militarily in the strength and in the numbers and in different things. And he's a brand new leader. Can I say it this way? Joshua could not afford to make a mistake. Right? If Joshua made a mistake, if he made a misstep and a lot of people of Israel died or something terrible happened, if there was a calamity, that would really mess up his ability to lead. He couldn't afford to make a mistake. Victory without a miracle from God was impossible. Joshua needed God to work a miracle. Let's meet someone else who needed God to work a miracle. How about Rahab? Rahab was a harlot trapped in the city of Jericho, awaiting God's judgment to fall. She was a woman with a horrible past, marred by its sin and shame. In Israel, the crime of her lifestyle meant capital punishment. In Israel, under the law of God, she would have been under capital punishment for her lifestyle. And on top of that, her entire city was awaiting the judgment of God for their wickedness. God had already put in His orders to Israel, you're not to make any peace treaties with the people of Israel. You're not to marry any of them. You're not to leave anyone alive. You destroy everything. There was to be no survivors when Israel went in. Rahab had heard the rumors of what the God of Israel had done. She had heard how God had parted the Red Sea. She had heard how God had given His people amazing victories and had provided them for day after day. And she longed to be set free from her past and to know this God. She had heard what the God of Israel could do. But here she was, a woman doubly marked for the judgment of God. Okay, she was in a city that was under the judgment of God, and because of her past lifestyle, even if she had not been there, she would have been under the judgment of God. So what happened? How do we see God work the miracles that we see in Joshua chapter 2? Well, Joshua said this. There's Jericho. God said, go. I'm going to follow the example the previous generation set. I don't know what I can do yet, but I'm going to gather information and prepare for attack of the city. I'm going to start taking steps believing God's going to give us the victory. Now, we don't see a command from God in the text. God commanded Joshua, go send out these two spies. That verse just isn't there. But we don't see God condemning Joshua for that. God doesn't view this as a lack of faith. And here's what we need to understand. Joshua wasn't following some newfangled idea. He wasn't just making it up as he went. He followed the example that had been set by the previous generation. Can I say something for the preachers of my generation and the young guys? Hey, let's not just throw stuff away because it was from the past. If God used it in the previous generation, let's make sure we hold on to that. There may not be exact Bible verse for why they did that, but there's a reason why their previous generation has done that. Let's follow the example that God has set. That they have served God. There's safety in staying with the pattern that God has given us. Joshua, here's what he's doing. He's trying to prepare to move forward. He says, that's where God has commanded us to go. I'm doing what I can. We can't cross the Jordan River yet. God hasn't parted it yet. God hasn't given us the command that the river's going to be parted yet. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm going to take the steps that I can. This is what God has given us. I'm going to do what I can. By the way, spiritual victory isn't some massive one-time moment in your life. It's just the little steps. It's the one thing at a time. Do today what you can do where you know God has led you to go. Like reading your Bible and being in church. Say, preachers harp on that. Because we need it. You need to be in church. So Joshua, attempting to serve God, attempting to take steps to serve God, he says, we're going to follow the example. We're going to send out two spies. And I have to believe that these guys were picked more for their character than for their ability. You ever had that? They're picked for their character, not their ability, because that night they arrive in the city. They're there to spy it out secretly. And that same night, there's messengers in front of the king of Jericho saying, there's two men from the nation of Israel that's here to spy out the city. They would have failed spy school instantly. Okay? They were sent there trying to do what Joshua had commanded them to do. But they were spotted. They were recognized as Jews. Their cover was blown. And remember, the city of Jericho is on high alert. Okay, if they found Israelites spying in the city of Jericho, what do you think is going to happen to them? Right? If this doesn't work out, then Joshua has just sent two men to their deaths. Here's what as they enter the city, they begin going around and they go into a house and they stay there, sitting ducks. For the soldiers of the king of Jericho to come and get them. They were trying to do what God had put in front of them. And we would say this, it wasn't working out the way Joshua wanted it to work out. But we can see the hand of God bringing these men to the most unlikely place, but the only place in Jericho where they could have found help. Think about that. They end up in a harlot's house, but the one person in all of Jericho that was looking for a way out, that had faith in the living God. Rahab recognized these men as Jewish men. They didn't get their camouflage in school down very well. I mean, everybody knew who they were. And she recognized these men as servant of the living God, and she takes them and hides them. Now, everyone in Jericho, Rahab tells us, everyone in Jericho had heard the same stories, right? She uses plural with all that she says. She says, our hearts did melt when we heard of that. They were terrified, just like God had promised Israel they were. Side note, we can't always see what God is doing, but God is keeping His promises. Joshua couldn't know that they were utterly terrified. He could just see the walls. But God was keeping His promises. They were scared little girly men on the inside. And Rahab was terrified just like everyone else, but she had a different response to the spies than the king of Jericho. The king of Jericho said, No, we're going to hang on to this. You send those soldiers. You get those men. We're going to capture them. We're not going to, we're going to fight as hard as we can. Rahab said, I'm joining them with this God. I'm going to do whatever I can to be a part of the people of God. So she joined with Israel. By the way, if she had been caught, she would have met the same fate as the spies. She joins with the spies. She hides them. She said, I want to serve the God of Israel. Now, if we just read Joshua chapter 2, we would be tempted, if we had just Joshua chapter 2, we'd be tempted to say, did God really use Rahab? I mean, this is a special character here. But Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, by faith, Rahab perished not. She was living by faith. She placed her faith in the God of Israel when others continued down their own path. She had heard about this God and she chose to turn to Him even with her horrible past. She said, I'm going to seek God's mercy. I'm going to seek after God. And she said, I'm going to do whatever I can to serve God. I'm going to protect those spies. And she messed up royally. As in her attempts to protect the spies, she told lie after lie after lie. She said the men had already left. Lie number one. She said, I don't know where they came from. Lie number two. She told the soldiers if they'd hurry, they'd catch up with them. She told lie after lie after lie. By the way, God never blesses sin. God didn't need Rahab's lies to accomplish His plans. Simply what is happening here is God is recording for us Rahab's imperfect attempts to serve her new God. You ever seen a new Christian? Lots of zeal, not always all the knowledge. That's what Rahab's trying to do. She's trying to serve God. And she messed it up. She told lie after lie. But Rahab also had a message for the spies. This whole city is terrified of you. We know the battle is already over. Nobody can stand against the God of Israel. She lets the spies down by a scarlet cord or rope. She gave them instructions on how to avoid the soldiers of Jericho. In each of these situations, we can make the point that they had failed. The spies were caught. I mean, they were identified. They weren't really successful as spies. Rahab, she was a good liar. But she wasn't behaving like a very good Christian yet. Okay? She wasn't behaving like a good believer of God. We would say this. You need to talk to the preacher on that one. I mean, you need some help here. But how did God use that? He intervened and worked incredible miracles for Joshua and Rahab through their simple, imperfect steps of faith. Those spies from Joshua, they returned with a message that was exactly what Joshua needed to hear. Look at that in verse number 24. They said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of that, because of us. Who could have told them that besides Rahab? The king of Jericho wasn't going to admit to Israel that we're terrified and we're just going to surrender. The king wasn't going to admit that. Nobody in Jericho was going to tell Joshua the true state of what was going on in Jericho. But because Joshua was seeking to serve God as he was preparing to do what God had put in front of them, these two spies just so happened to end up in the one house of all of Jericho where someone had placed their faith in the God of Israel. Rahab was the only person who could have given them the real situation. They got a real news scoop. They got the real news there with Rahab, and she told them they were able to exactly what they needed to hear, and they were able to return and tell Joshua, hey, it's just like God said. They are utterly terrified of us. God's going to do it. He brought a message of encouragement to Joshua when he desperately needed. But he never would have gotten that if he hadn't tried to serve God. If he hadn't taken the simple steps of faith that he could. Rahab and her whole family were spared the judgment of God. They were rescued. I mean, God had a command of judgment on the city of Jericho. And there are those who want to say the God of the Old Testament, the God of the Bible, is mean and vindictive and judgmental and just wants to destroy everybody. No, He's looking for faith. He is looking for someone that He can rescue, that He can save. And He saw the faith there in Noah, and He saw the faith there in Rahab. And God was looking for an excuse to extend grace and mercy. And not only did Rahab survive the coming battle of Jericho, a man of Judah named Salmon married Rahab. A former harlot had a son named Boaz, who married Ruth. Boaz was the great-grandfather of King David. God took a former harlot after she had placed her faith in the God of Israel. And by the way, placing your faith in the God of Israel is going to change who you are as a person. It's going to change your lifestyle. She began to follow God. She was a former of that lifestyle. God took a former harlot and put her into the bloodline of Jesus Christ. See, God worked miracles for Joshua and Rahab when they simply served God, even when it was imperfect. Even when we said they messed up, man, that wasn't the way it should have been. Man, they fell flat on their face. God doesn't use us because of our great abilities and our great efforts. God works through faith. When we simply obey God's word, God blesses. Can I tell you this? God wants to work miracles tonight. God wants to show grace no matter your past. No matter your present, no matter how the future looks, God wants to work miracles. He has the ability to work miracles. He is not limited by today's society or the darkness of our times. He's not limited financially. He is not limited by our limitations. Rather, He can use our limitations for His glory. He will accomplish His plans. He has promised, I will build My church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And by the way, He has promised in 2 Thessalonians that until the Holy Spirit is removed, Satan's power is going to be held in check. We can see, look around and say, man, it seems like Satan is winning. Man, it seems like darkness is advancing. Yes, but I can tell you this, that he has no more power than God allows him to have. That as long as the Holy Spirit is present here on this earth, he cannot do what he wants to do. God's power is still present. We can still serve the Lord. Even when our attempts to serve God are imperfect and flawed. How often do we fall flat on our faces? How many have made a promise? I'm going to read my Bible every day this year, and you already missed one. I hope not. But if you did, get up. Let's keep going. How often does it seem that nothing can possibly happen? I preach God's perfect word, but I'm an imperfect preacher. I stumble over words. I say things the wrong way. Sometimes I might even miss the meaning of the text. I pray I don't, but it can happen. We go on visitation. We knock on door after door after door after door. Oh, thank you. Nice smile. They're telling you, please go away quickly and never come back. Seems like nobody comes. How many times do people invite their friends to church? Invite them and invite them and invite them and invite them and they never come. One of our neighbors, a family there, pray for them. They have 3 kids. And we take Amy over there, visit. They've been over to our house. We started really meeting with them. In July of last year, they came for the first time for the Christmas concert. They haven't been back yet, but continue to pray. God is working on their heart, but we work. We don't see a lot of results. We read our Bibles, and sometimes you go, what was I supposed to get out of that? I missed it. It could happen. You're reading your Bible like, I'm trying to hear from the Lord, but I'm just not getting it. We say this, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're trying to serve the Lord, but aren't you glad that God working miracles is not dependent upon our perfect accomplishment of that. That I don't have to preach a perfect sermon for God's Word to speak and touch someone's heart for them to get saved. I don't have to have just the perfect words to witness. If I just give them the Word of God and say, I am an imperfect, flawed vessel, but God can do the impossible. If I just take the steps of obedience that God has placed in front of me. I don't have a lot of experience at church planting. I grew up in a church plant, but I wasn't in Riverhead, Long Island. Okay, I mean, by God's grace, I'm hoping I'm growing in preaching. I hope I'm growing in my walk with the Lord. And I have a family now. I've never raised a family before. Yeah, okay. I'm a new dad. I need to learn how to do that. But how's that going to happen? I'm not going to do it every time perfect. I'm going to make a mistake as parents. Now, I pray for God's grace that I don't make serious mistakes and I need to be on my face seeking the Lord for wisdom and direction, which, by the way, Joshua does. This is not an excuse for being lazy. This is not an excuse saying, well, I'm just going to do the best I can and leave the rest up to God. No, what he's saying is, I'm taking the steps of obedience and I'm leaving the rest up to God. It's not based on my perfect accomplishment of that, but it's based on the sovereign hand of God who blesses faith, who does the work of God through imperfect vessels. God works when we act in faith. How many have heard the story of the little boy on the piano? This is, I believe, more of a preacher's story than a real story. Because I tried to find it and I couldn't. But the story is of a mom who was trying to teach her little boy how to play the piano. And at hours of forcing him to practice and trying to get him, and she just wasn't making much progress with that. And so she heard an idea. I'm going to take him to a concert. He's going to hear one of those pianists play and he will be inspired to continue practicing. And so that's what she did. She took her little boy to the famous concert pianist and he was going to be there and he was going to perform. And just as the concert was about to start, her boy was gone. To her horror, she sees him walking out on the stage right to the piano. And begins playing Chopsticks. The mother is just embarrassed beyond belief and trying to desperately get her boy off that piano when out walks the concert pianist. How was he going to treat her boy? As the story goes, he walks up behind the little boy and says, just keep playing what you know to play. So the little boy faithfully kept on playing Chopsticks. And the concert pianist began filling in all around him. And there was a beautiful piece of music created that received a standing ovation. Trying to serve the Lord, that's about what we can accomplish. But if we just keep doing what God has given to us, if we take the steps of obedience wherever we are that God has placed in front of us, God works miracles even when we're not perfect. In fact, if we did everything perfect, we would begin to try to take the credit for it. And so sometimes God lets us fall flat on our face to remind us, no, it's not about you, it's about me. And God will give us the exact message. He will reach the souls that are looking for Him. He will accomplish what only God can do. Because, by the way, only He knows the full story. He's the only one who can read people's hearts. And so what the challenge is tonight is, let's just do what we can in front of us. Let's just be obedient to God's Word, no matter what that is. Preacher, where can I be faithful today? Preacher, what would serving God look like today for kids? Hey, it starts when you're young. Get in the habit of serving God. Get in the habit of reading your Bible now. Get in the habit of being faithful and serious about the things of God. Listen to the preaching, because that's going to have a great impact on where you're going to end up down the road. And you're going to say, I fell asleep last night in church. You're going to say, well, try again next week. If you keep serving God and keep a humble heart to God, God will work miracles when we act in faith, preacher.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we